Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Diet, Health and Fitness Show on Callan FM. I'm Tracy Jones and I'm joined in the studio by Denise Oliver.
Hello
well, actually,
again.
I joined you,
I've left,
yeah.
Yes.
And we've got Ben Calder in the studio with us today. Hello, Ben.
Hi,
how are you?
Nice to be here.
Well, I'm just getting used to the new studio and I'm trying not to make the lights go red. And I'm varying between red and green. So just bear with me while I'm getting used to this. But I'm loving the light. I'm loving the whole setup. I'm not loving the chair so much because my feet don't touch the floor,
yeah.
But I'll get used to that.
Yeah.
So we've got a number of things to talk to you about today. The flu vaccine, Ben, you wanted to talk about. Denise, what are we talking about now?
There's all sorts of things. Yes, I've been away, but I've been aware of Jamie Oliver and his programme on sugar and what he wants to do about that. How we can train our brain to prefer a healthy diet, that sort of thing. And I've come across this little exercise. It's from Japan by Dr. Fukutsuzi, I think. And he's a doctor who specializes in pelvic bone alignment. And he says if you do this exercise every day for 30 days, you will lose weight.
Okay.
I will explain it later. We mentioned this little exercise that I came across on the internet. And it apparently created a storm over in Japan when Dr. Fukutsuzi, and apologies if that's not how you pronounce the Japanese name, who's a pelvic bone specialist, came up with it and says that it can actually help you to lose weight. Now, I have no idea how this might happen, but Ben, with your kinesiology Bowen head on, you might actually be able to come up with what's happening here.
And so, the first thing that I can see in that, because you've got this rolled towel or mat that sits at the back of the pelvis there, is it's going to extend the bottom of the back, which will draw the adrenals down out from underneath the rib cage. And quite often when we get a hypercontracted back, our adrenals are pushed up underneath our rib cage, and our lungs then are constantly pushing down on our adrenals, which increases the amount of stress hormones released into the body, which actually makes us more likely to have malabsorption, digestion problems and issues with how we metabolize. Ooh. So this will relax the whole of that part of the endocrine system and allow the body to function more normally, would be my guess.
Okay, I'll just explain, because what Ben can see here in the studio that you can't is some of the pictures that I've got. So you lie on your back, and under your back, just underneath your navel area, you place a rolled up towel or, you know, something like a rolled up yoga mat, I would suggest. And you place, I've tried this and I found it really uncomfortable because I have a low back issue. So you roll yourself down onto this rolled up towel with it underneath your navel. Are you with me? Yeah, Tracy's
okay,
nodding.
Yep.
And then what you
have
to do, it says you have to ensure that the towel's width is bigger than you are. So it's got to stick out either side of you. I know not why, it doesn't explain. Then you spread your legs to shoulder width position, and then you bring your big toes together so that they just touch. Now, that might seem like it's a really simple thing to do, but when your back is arched over what you've got underneath it, actually it gets difficult to do that in that rotation with your legs. Now, with your arms, you take them over your head and you lay them level with your ears, up against your ears, and you bring your palms to the ground the other way. Put your palms down. Yeah. So your arms have to be straight, Tracy, not bent at the elbows. And bring your little fingers, your little pinkies together to touch. And it's struggling in the chair.
I wish you could see what we're seeing here in the studio. That's the great face here.
Yeah, and it looks like and sounds like the simplest thing to do. And oh my goodness, when I tried it, I sweated buckets. You have to, if you can't bring your actual little fingers together, you have to make sure that your big toes keep touching. Now, apparently you repeat this 3 times a day, 5 minutes each time. And starting off, it says here in what I'm reading, it will feel very weird and painful. But if it hurts, then you should keep it up just as long as you possibly can. And basically, you're aiming to see visible results within about 30 days. So you know, you have to take it easy when you actually come to get up off the floor. You need to roll over slowly and carefully and stand up carefully as well. Don't just suddenly leap up, otherwise you'll be lightheaded. Now, I tried to find a book on this. There has been one written, but it's not been translated yet. So if I come across it in the future and I do get to read more about it and why and how it helps, but Ben's already given us an adrenal explanation for that, then I did wonder, Ben, if those sort of pressure points with the big toes touching and the little fingers.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
you've got small intestine meridian linking in on the little fingers there, and the big toes would be spleen meridian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's all sorts of Eastern medicine things coming together in this.
So we've christened a new studio with some strange movements. We have to do a bit of movement in this show, don't we? So, yeah, I had a go. I lay on the floor. Ben very kindly rolled up his fleece and I put that under my back. And unfortunately, there is photographic evidence.
Yeah, we'll be live on Twitter in about the next couple of minutes for sure.
Yeah, and Ben, there is also photographic evidence of you doing it as well, so you don't get away.
Okay. I feel better now.
So you actually look like you were on the rack. And that's what we do to guests in the Callan FM studio.
I feel better already.
We should make it the law that every guest that comes on Diet, Health and Fitness has to have a go at this.
So I think it's quite interesting to note that you quite rightly said it sounds like a very simple exercise, but actually it was quite challenging just to particularly to get my hands my arms straight above my head and turning my hands flat against the floor. Well, that was virtually impossible, so it seems
sort of counterintuitive to turn your arms over, to put your palms when they're above your head behind you somehow, and it was like, this is just weird. And it was a struggle for you, Ben, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite tight in the shoulders from all my years of climbing. So I'm used to hanging onto rock faces and I've got quite tight pecs. But yeah, it will be interesting to try and practice that a little bit more and see what happens with it.
Talking of which, you celebrated a big birthday this weekend by going on a zip wire, is that right?
Yeah, I went. It was lovely. I got to catch up with a friend of mine who I used to be an outdoor instructor with 15 years ago, and he's now working and running one of the zip wires at Zip World over in Llanberis Pass at Blenheim Fest in Newark. And so I spent the whole day on the long zip wires and then on the underground trampolini thing and then on the underground Indiana Jones style zip wire Via Ferrata course in the dark, which was phenomenal, really. I wasn't, you know, really tired by the end of the day, but it was really fun. Had a really good time. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I love the idea of
celebrating
that.
40 in a good way. It's great.
Yeah. Energetic.
Yeah.
You looked a little bit shocked then when I pointed at you, Denise. Yeah, yes. We're on air.
We're back. It's just getting used to everything here. And it, although it looks similar, it's different at the same time. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's so clean and bright and lovely. So I've come back from my Jolly Hollybobs of 30 degrees plus, which was just gorgeous, and wearing sort of next to no clothes to autumn, and finding that the weather is changing here. It is much chillier, especially in the evenings. Really noticed that. And of course, we are now coming into the season where things like flu are going to be mentioned. And Ben, you actually just want to bring us some information about flu vaccines.
Definitely. Because it's something that we get this impression that it's going to be very helpful for us and that in some respects we ought to be doing automatically. But it's really important to remember a few very important pieces of information about flu vaccines. First of all, they actually show no significant difference in working days lost or hospitalizations, and that the unvaccinated tend to have milder symptoms and seek less treatment than people who are vaccinated. And the Center for Disease Control in the US actually highlights that the flu vaccine is more likely to give you flu because it's a live vaccinated virus. But it's one of these things that we think is safe and that we know a lot about, but actually there have been no controlled trials that show that it creates any decrease in flu. And if you actually have a look at Fluval, which is the American version of the flu vaccine, the data sheet that comes with it actually states on it that there is no evidence to show it has any effect on flu. And it's not been evaluated to find out if it's carcinogenic or mutagenic, so they don't know whether or not it might cause cancer or not, and also whether or not it has any effect on fertility. So we don't know that it's safe for pregnant women, and that's being given out a lot. And it's interesting as well that 60% of doctors and nurses is, and one in seven NHS staff actually refuse it because it's does no good and it makes no real difference. And again, for children that have been vaccinated with it, they're three times more likely to be hospitalised if they've had a flu vaccine than not. And that can include everything from severe flu-like symptoms, anaphylaxis, seizures, and also it's been shown that they have specific immune levels that are not as well developed as unvaccinated children. So I don't know that we're really doing any good by having a flu vaccine.
It's quite a controversial thing, the flu vaccine, sure, isn't it? From the point of view of there's not one type of flu.
That's right. Exactly.
So it's
the point.
Based on what might happen, not what is actually going to happen.
And of course, we're often told by doctors there's nothing you can do when you've got a virus.
No.
You know, if you've got a bacterial infection, it's fine, you can take antibiotics. But actually, there's lots of natural remedies for viruses. And at this time of year, it's perfect because we've got all of the black elderberries out and beautiful blackberries all hanging on the trees out there. All you got to do is pick yourself a couple of kilos of berries, and you can find recipes online for black elderberry syrup that comes with ginger, star anise, cinnamon, lots of nice good spices. And you brew that up into syrups, keep it in the fridge. Just take a spoonful of that every day, and I will guarantee you it will not let you have flu.
So you're saying take that before any flu symptoms arise?
Absolutely. And if you do get any flu symptoms, you can buy a commercial version of black elderberry extract called Sambucol from most health food shops, and you go through two bottles of that in 4 days, and it will kill the flu outright. And it's actually been researched about 15 years ago, and it was shown to be effective against every form of flu that was stored in cryostasis at that point. So
I have to say, I was a personal experience put off by ever having a flu vaccine by my dad. Now, he died many years ago from the effects of lung cancer, but the doctor insisted he had to have a flu jab, and he was so poorly afterwards, so poorly. And he said to me, never, ever have one of those things. He said, I've never felt so ill in all my life.
And that's very
and
common.
That was like 20 years ago. So, you know, that has stayed with me ever since. So, yes, I've worked as a nurse, and yes, I've been offered it, and no, I haven't had it.
And there's still no evidence to show that it has any beneficial effect in those over 65.
No.
And year after year, I see people coming into my practice and they've had the flu jab. How did it go? I felt terrible afterwards, or tell me about your symptoms, and they sound like flu.
Yeah.
So you're not avoiding the thing that you're meant to be avoiding, and it leaves you feeling rubbish for a bit, and you don't know if you were going to catch it anyway.
No. Tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that doctors do recommend for certain categories of patients that as a prophylaxis to have the flu vaccine. So we would always say go and check with a medical expert that you trust.
Yeah, always listen to the advice of your healthcare professional, definitely.
And Ben, you were just looking at the beautiful window that the editors have to their new office. And I was talking about growing tomatoes on it. And you mentioned something completely different to tomatoes.
A leafy plant
that has many health benefits. And would actually give natural shade for the team there as well.
Yeah.
So that in the hot sunshine, they're, you know, not getting over hot. It's good to keep them relaxed.
On a serious note, although we can't condone the use of any illegal substances at all, it is in the news, it's on my Facebook feed almost daily, and that is cannabis.
Absolutely.
And the health and medical benefits of cannabis. Ben, I'm sure you're up to speed with all of this.
Absolutely. And for a couple of years now, I've been following the work of a Phoenix farmer called Rick Simpson, who is collecting masses of data looking at the health benefits of cannabis oil that he started using for cancer many years ago, and has since developed a massive following of people who have used it for their own cancers. And we're now finding benefits in such things as multiple sclerosis, childhood seizures, epilepsy, autism. It seems to be working and helping the body in a lot of different ways. It's a fantastic plant, as well as relaxing people, helping with mental health issues. There's a massive spectrum of benefits that are being shown the more it's being researched.
There's a big groundswell now. People are very interested in it, aren't they? And I think that's why it's becoming so prevalent, but there's some interesting news from America that you just shared.
That's right. So Colorado was one of several states in the US that legalized marijuana a few years back. And they're actually working on a tax refund plan to Colorado citizens at the moment, because the revenue from marijuana sales has produced so much money that they actually owe taxpayers money back because they've outstripped their own budgets. And it's interesting, in the UK, we've now got four police forces that have stated quite publicly that they are no longer going to pursue people for personal use, because it's a waste of their time and resources when there's other more serious and more important crime to be pursued, which I think is a brilliant move. And I'll look forward to that window space next door being filled up with beneficial health plants.
Tomatoes,
for shade.
Yes.
Sure, whatever you want to grow there. Let's make it a whole garden of edible and medicinal plants. It'd be fantastic.
Inside and out,
absolutely.
We've just been having a quick chat about chefs that we like, and then we've got on to talking about sugar. And when I got back from my Jolly Hollybobs, I knew that one of the things I wanted to watch was Jamie's Sugar Rush on Channel 4. And he's now on the campaign trail to reduce the amount of sugar that our children have in their diets. And really, really interesting facts came out of this. He went to a hospital in London where regularly primary school children are going to have their teeth taken out because of sugar. And the consultant that Jamie was talking to put the blame squarely and firmly under sugary drinks. It's a huge problem. It's costing the NHS a minimum of £30 million a year just to take teeth out from children whose teeth are so rotten.
Wow.
The World Health Organization say that adults should have no more than 70 spoons of sugar a day, and we are regularly consuming over 40.
Wow.
And this is in foods that we buy, which we consider are healthy for us. So these are the pre-prepared processed foods. He spoke to a dietitian where she took him through a day's meals that your average person would make. So, and you would think that breakfast was quite healthy. So bran flakes with milk, with berries, with a glass of orange juice and some low-fat lemon yogurt. And Jamie was quite flabbergasted because he put his portions together and he went, oh, I'd really enjoy that now. She went, okay, well, that's 14 teaspoons of sugar in your breakfast as you start the day. And it's just like, what? And apparently a regular lunchtime thing that an average adult would have would be a tin of tomato soup and a slice of bread, another 3 teaspoons, snacks of flavoured waters, and these look like healthy snack bars. And the flavoured water gives you 7 teaspoons of sugars and the snack bar a minimum of 2. And then Jamie starts doing some cooking and he starts making a stir fry. Sounds great. But for flavouring, what your average adult does is buy a jar of stir-fry sauce. And the one that Jamie put on the food was 20 teaspoons of sugar equivalent. And it wasn't a big jar. Mm. You know, it was quite a small jar. So that adds up to 36 teaspoons of free sugars in your diet in a day. And you're probably thinking that that's healthy.
Even without putting sugar in your teas and coffees and things like that.
Without having it seeming obvious. For a Costa, Starbucks, Nero's, whatever, wherever else you might be going. So obviously all of this is not helping with type 2 diabetes. And he's very squeamish, Jamie Oliver. He was really cringing when he was watching kids having teeth taken out. And then he went to talk to a chap. I don't know if it's the nurse in me, but it all seemed very routine to me. It's not pleasant, but it's like, yeah, I could do that. He went to talk to a chap who, because of type 2 diabetes, had both had toes amputated from one foot. He'd had his actual foot removed from the other leg. And Jamie couldn't stand at the end of the bed where the amputation had occurred. He could only stand at the top end of the bed to talk to the chap. And it's so on the increase. 3.5 million people just in this country have type 2 diabetes, which is all lifestyle factor related. And it's costing the NHS $9 billion guesstimated per year, 10% of the NHS budget. They're doing so many more lower limb amputations per year. It adds up to 130 lower limb amputations minimum per week. It's just scary. one in five kids going to primary school are overweight or obese. It's all a bit scary, isn't it? And they gave a little girl, you know, those eye tracking glasses so they could see what she was looking at when she went shopping with her mum. And it's so cunning what these products, how their product placement occurs in supermarkets. And of course, at her height, she's about six, the levels at which it's all put, what can she see? Chocolate and sweets and all of that. And of course, that's what she's asking her mum to buy for her. And then it's also watching programmes which are considered adult programmes. So not before nine, but these are programmes like, I can't think of one, something that's on a Saturday night that's on over several hours, and product placement there. It's not, they're not products that are placed within children's programmes, but they're placed within family programmes. And according to advertising standards, that's okay, because it's the adult responsibility to not give their children these foods. But we've been there. I bet you've been there, Tracy. You've been nagged to death by a six and stroke 9 year old, and so have I. And when you're tired and you've had enough, you give in, you buy them, you give it to them. I've been there, I've done it. So Jamie wants the British government to step up and get tougher on this. Now, I'll cut this short, but he went to Mexico, where they've got one of the highest obesity problems in Mexico. And guess where most of Coca-Cola is produced?
Mexico.
And guess what the indigenous population can't get hold of? They can't get hold of clean drinking water, but they are given Coke all the time to drink. They drink loads and loads and loads, a minimum of 2 litres a day. So you'll see a child being breastfed and then it's given a drink of Coke afterwards. They've got a huge problem over there. And then one lovely chap has set up this sugary drinks tax. So they're now getting in this revenue they can use to go teach children in schools about a healthier diet. And that's what Jamie Oliver wants in this country. So he's stuck his neck out, and he has said that in all of his restaurants, starting in the autumn, there is going to be a tax in his restaurants on sugary drinks. And the money that is raised is going to go to schools to help them to promote healthier eating habits.
Yeah, I love Jamie. I've got a lot of respect for the way he looks at health and well-being with people. But again, the place that we really need to go to this is the manufacturers.
Well, they don't want to know.
No, sure.
They really don't.
But it's a government policy that allows the fact that we can have unhealthy foods so available that then has that knock-on effect to the NHS.
Yeah.
And also, we're not differentiating between healthy sugar, naturally occurring sugar in fruit and vegetables, which doesn't have that kind of effect on our body. But when we load it in with the processed stuff, which we're getting so much of, it has a really detrimental effect. And, you know, even from an adult world, I haven't seen a woman as a client in the last 12 years who hasn't had some form of endometriosis, fibroids, polycystic ovarian syndrome, where sugar wasn't a key part of the problem because of how much it disturbs the hormone metabolism within the body. So it's incredible stuff.
A lot of it is the hidden sugars in the foods that we eat as adults that's a problem. But sugary drinks for children is a big issue. And children aren't taught to drink water.
No.
Anything but. So, yes, it's a big problem and it's not going to go away. We've been talking about this on this show for, well, certainly since the beginning of this year.
Beginning of last year.
Was it last year?
And
it's going to keep coming back. So, so watch out for Jamie and his sugar tax. And finally, just to round this off, he took us to a school that when he had a thing about school dinners 10 years ago, the food was horrendous. And they took on board all his suggestions and recommendations. The school grows, along with the children, most of the fruits and veg and salad stuff that those children have on their plate at lunchtimes. And they keep their own bees as well.
Brilliant.
And there wasn't one obese child in that school. They pride themselves on the children understanding what is good for them, what is right for their bodies. And that's the sort of thing. When Jamie raises this money, he wants to go to schools and go, look, I've got a school that's done it. This is what you need. This is how you do it. And the children were just so pleased to be able to show him just what they had achieved. So, yeah, it's
love
brilliant.
That man.
But I'd just like to mention that we've had a listener message to say that they've been lying in their
in their hallway of their aunt's house, practicing the Japanese weight loss technique. So I shall look for, you know, we're obviously inspiring people already
I'd
today.
I'd like to know if they lose any weight.
Definitely. Yes. I'll bring that back next month and let you know what's happening.
And Ben, you've got a few workshops coming up. Do you want to share with the listeners what you're doing in Shrewsbury?
So down at in Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury on the 9th and 10th of October, we have an introduction to myofascial Daoyin. Now, this is a type of Qigong or Tai Chi type exercise that my brother and I have synthesized into a fantastic program for what we're classing as the key to 100 years of health. So there's a lot of research just coming around at the moment to show that Tai Chi and Qigong type exercise can actually prevent and reverse disease and debility that would be associated with old age. So we're setting up a program that we can actually start to teach this to people so that people can actually have a way of looking after themselves physically, emotionally, mentally, that will help them into their old age. So it'd be useful for any kind of physical debility, movement, flexibility, good for problems of the mind, Alzheimer's, dementia, that kind of stuff. So we're looking forward to seeing people down for that. And then we also have one of our Reclaiming Your Shadow workshops coming up on the 2nd and 3rd of October. And that is brilliant. If you want to know why other people wind you up so much, then, and not only that, but what the cure for it is as well, how to avoid it so you don't get wound up by other people, then Reclaiming Your Shadow is the perfect place to come and try that out.
And one of these days, I'm going to be available on the weekend that you're running that workshop.
Yeah, I know.
I've been interested in it ever since I heard about it, and I think we've gone a good 12 months now without me being able to attend. So next year,
brilliant. I look forward to it. We'll check the dates with you to make sure you're free next time.
You'll base it all around me, no pressure. So we're just about at the end of the show now. It's gone really quickly. I'm really happy to be in the new studio. And if you stay tuned after the next couple of songs, I'll be back here anyway, because I'm here for the next hour with Talking Business. And my guest today is Chris Cheney from Your Salon Profit. You know Chris,
oh, yes,
Denise.
Oh, yes, I do.
We met him for a coffee and had a good chat.
Nice guy. Yeah, lovely.
And where are you both whizzing off to this afternoon?
I'm whizzing off to a supermarket of some sort to buy fruits to take photographs of them.
Okay. Exciting. So that's for an ongoing project.
That's an ongoing project, yes.
Ben, are you seeing clients?
This afternoon I'm actually going to be taking an enjoyable drive down the M5 to visit my mother in Cornwall and to go to a high school reunion.
Oh, wow. So, whereabouts in Cornwall?
All the way down to sunny Newquay. So it's going to be an enjoyable weekend.
I wish I was going with you.
You
turned 40 and a high school reunion. Union.
It's all good fun. And there's a lot of us did, so it should be quite a celebration on Friday night. If you're going to be down at the Shy Bar in Newquay, we'll see you there.
Well, thanks very much for listening.